Welcome to God and Country Radio, a program that discusses current social, political, prophetic events in the life of Scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. This week, I'd like to again address the situation in Afghanistan. Already, the media is leaving the story, which we can be sure is what the White House is hoping for. To show us Joe Biden's mindset on this, back in 2010, when Biden was vice president, he had a meeting with the U.S. diplomat Richard Holbrooke. And Holbrooke has the transcript where Biden was arguing that the U.S. should leave Afghanistan regardless of humanitarian costs. And Biden said, quote, "Screw that, we don't have to worry about any humanitarian cost. We did it in Vietnam. Nixon and Kissinger got away with it." So Biden clearly did not see a problem with our pullout from Vietnam, and he wanted another Vietnam pullout from Afghanistan. But we do know that Nixon and Kissinger didn't get away with it. Our defeat in Vietnam became their legacy, and it hurt Americans' reputation and foreign policy for decades. What happened in Vietnam showed that Americans no longer had the resolve to keep their word and to win foreign wars. Now, these events we've seen over the last couple of weeks have been heartbreaking. After August 31st, when we pulled out, the Taliban celebrated with mock funerals for Americans. Pictures surfaced of Taliban flying U.S. helicopters, hanging traitors by the neck with ropes attached to the skids of the helicopters. Women are being raped. The Taliban are going door to door looking to kill Christians and collaborators with the United States. And these Taliban are the same men as ISIS. They want to create an Islamic caliphate like the Ottoman Empire, and they want to rule the world starting in the Middle East. There is real organized evil in this world. And those on the ideological left ignore it. They don't believe it. They pacify it. And if the truth is told, they're actually part of it. They're part of the same spirit. In December of 2011, despite the objections of many foreign policy experts and those in the military, President Obama pulled American troops out of Iraq. And we left that country in relative peace. Al-Qaeda had been defeated, and the Iraqi Sunni government was anti-Al-Qaeda. But 2 years after the pullout, Al-Qaeda seized major cities in Iraq, and the ISIS caliphate took over much of the country. Thousands of Iraqi civilians were killed. There were 71 car bombings per month. Everything we had fought for in Iraq was reversed. And eventually, under President Trump, we had to go back in there to defeat ISIS. But when Obama pulled out, Obama's press secretary said that the president made a commitment to end the war in Iraq, and he fulfilled that commitment. But we all know that Obama did not end that war. He actually started another war by withdrawing. But for the left, abandoning a country to death and war means the end of a war. The commentator Dennis Prager says it this way. That is the amoral and provincial perspective of the Democrats. All the death, torture, and fighting that takes place because Americans have withdrawn don't really matter. For the Democrats and others on the left, the self-proclaimed compassionate folks, the amount of suffering caused by Americans withdrawing its troops is just not important. Well, back in 1975, with that same mindset, the United States abandoned Vietnam. And after America left Vietnam, about 2 million South Vietnamese were sent to re-education camps. Hundreds of thousands died from mistreatment. Between 100 to 200,000 South Vietnamese were executed. People were sent into forced labor, slavery, and new economic zones. And between 200,000 and 400,000 Vietnamese died fleeing Vietnam. Remember the boat people. And as soon as America left Vietnam, the communist Khmer Rouge in Cambodia were emboldened. They overthrew the Cambodian government and murdered 2 million Cambodians, about a third of the population. And then the communists also took over the country of Laos. But for the left in America, the Vietnam War had ended. And although there were protests on college campuses against the war, inspired by that communist student group, the SDS, there was not a word or a protest about all of the suffering that ensued in these countries. So for all of their claims about compassion and justice, the left in America doesn't believe in evil, doesn't fight evil, and is conciliatory toward evil. So that's the real story behind our Afghanistan pullout and the ideology behind it. Back in 1975, there was a young Democratic senator who said on the Senate floor, "I don't believe the United States has an obligation, moral or otherwise, to evacuate foreign nationals. The United States has no obligation to evacuate one or 100,001 South Vietnamese." Well, who was that senator? Joseph Biden of Delaware. And he has not changed his worldview ever since. So what is God trying to show his people through all of these events? Many pundits are talking about this story and the shame that has fallen upon America. But what is the spiritual lesson? And of course, there is a spiritual lesson. God has left the tares among the wheat in this world for a purpose. And that purpose is to teach and sanctify God's chosen people, even to try their faith. And if it weren't for that purpose, God would have already removed every unsaved soul from earth because he knows who will be saved and who will not be saved. Joe Biden and all of these unprincipled, ungodly politicians are like Pharaoh. Romans chapter 9, verse 17. "For the scripture says to Pharaoh, for this very purpose I raised you up, to demonstrate my power in you, and that my name might be proclaimed throughout the whole earth." Well, let's look back at that scripture being quoted from Exodus chapter 9, because there's some amazing truths revealed in that text. First, Moses marches into Pharaoh's court and tells Pharaoh that if God wanted to, he could have put forth his hand and cut off Pharaoh and his people from the earth, rather than what was happening, the gradual judgment and the 10 plagues. So that's Exodus chapter 9, verse 15. But then in the next verse, verse 16, Moses says what's quoted in Romans 9, 17. "For this cause I've raised thee up, to show in you my power, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth." Now, the New American Standard translates this, "I have caused you to remain," rather than "I have raised you up." And that gives a better sense of the Hebrew. In other words, not only did God allow Pharaoh to come to power to be an example of sin, but God was allowing him to remain to be an example of sin and an example of God's power to defeat sin. That's why Pharaoh was able to take his next breath. So we need to see all the actions of these ungodly leaders as having that purpose. God wants to show the world the end result of secular humanism, of paganism, the suffering and the shame a nation brings upon herself when she abandons the word of the Lord. And remember, this is what Jesus said would come upon Israel because they didn't recognize the time of their visitation. And Jesus said of Israel, "You are my witnesses, saith the Lord." And truly they were. They would either be a witness to the blessing of obedience or be a witness to the curse of disobedience. Deuteronomy 29, "If Israel disobeys the Lord, all the nations will say, why has the Lord done this to the land? Why this great outburst of anger? Then men will say, because they forsook the covenant of the Lord, the God of their fathers, which he made with them." Evil leaders in this world are meant to be an example of sin to God's people. And although the left tries to position itself as the righteous ones on earth, we should not make any apologies in making the truth claim that Biden and the current administration represent the wicked, the Pharaohs, the Ahabs, and the Jezebels. They are not a righteous administration being persecuted for righteousness' sake. When Texas just this last week passed a sweeping anti-abortion law to stop infanticide, the Biden administration immediately stated that they will do everything in their power and to use the whole government to oppose this new Texas law. And if you believe it's right to murder babies in the womb, you are truly evil. In the biblical account of the Old Testament prophets, there was always this moral conflict. The false prophets would always deceive the people by claiming to be the true prophets, and the true prophets would point out that no, these are false prophets, they're liars, they're evil. And this is the conflict between the Pharisees and Jesus. The Pharisees claimed to be righteous, and Jesus claimed to be righteous. And each accused each other of being evil. Now, we should not be deceived by relativism. The Pharisees were actually evil, yet notice that they claimed that they were righteous. How do you tell the difference? Well, Jesus said, by their fruits you will know them. Anyone who violates the direct commands of Scripture concerning sexual morality or abortion is evil. My brethren, do not be deceived. If we say we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. 1 John 1:6, 1 John 2:4, the one who says, I have come to know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. Matthew chapter 7, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name and in your name do many wonderful works? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye who work iniquity. And that's the point. They work iniquity. So again, my point is that the whole Afghanistan crisis is being allowed by God to teach us about sin and the nature of fallen man. Are we learning this lesson? The other week when I addressed this subject, I discussed how the Afghanistan debacle shows us the naivety, the stupidity, the callousness of wicked rulers, the shame and the curse that comes upon the wicked, how nothing that they do will come to any success, how they'll fall into the pit that they have dug for others, how they'll be like Haman, hanging on their own gallows that they built for others, and really how their policies will all fail because they're built on a wrong worldview. But the one point I want to make this week is that ungodly leaders will profess and believe that they have done and are doing the right thing. That's a deception in all this. While the ungodly are ruining everything, they will still profess to be doing what's right and doing what's best for everyone. At the very least, they'll say that they're victims, that they have good intentions. And of course, this doesn't just go for unsaved politicians. This goes for every unsaved family member or neighbor. They live in denial concerning their sin and their failure. You know, one example that comes to mind is the reliefs of ancient kings. In archaeology, reliefs mean carvings or inscriptions. And archaeologists have well discovered that ancient kings would never record their defeats in battle, only their victories. And even when they did lose, they would put a spin on it to make it look like a victory. And so the unsaved kings in the ancient world we're doing exactly what unsaved politicians do today. It's all about optics. When Assyria tried to conquer southern Israel, King Hezekiah prayed to the Lord, and that night the angel of the Lord put to death 185,000 Assyrians camped outside of Jerusalem. So how did the Assyrians record that defeat? Well, there's an ancient Assyrian relief called Sennacherib's hexagon prism, which states that the Assyrian king Shut up, Hezekiah, like a bird in a cage. Not a word about Assyria's defeat, the death of 185,000 troops, just that the Assyrians had Jerusalem surrounded for a period of time. Well, isn't that interesting? And now we have Biden calling his defeat in Afghanistan the greatest airlift rescue in the history of all nations. Yet not a word about why there was an airlift, that the Americans were running from the Taliban. We really ask the question, how can Joe Biden and his administration put such a spin on a situation so as to make such a bold-faced lie? Well, welcome to the mind of unsaved men. They lie and they believe their own lies. The truth is not in them. Romans chapter 3, as it's written, there is none righteous, not even one. The throat is an open grave. With their tongues they keep deceiving. The poison of asps is under their lips. Psalm 5:9, there's nothing reliable in what they say. Their inward part is destruction itself. Their throat is an open grave. They flatter with the tongue. Psalm 36:3, the words of his mouth are wickedness and deceit. He ceases to be wise and to do good. Psalm 52, why do you boast, O evil, O mighty man? Your tongue devises destruction like a sharp razor, O worker of deceit. Psalm 58:3, the wicked are estranged from the womb. These who speak lie go astray from birth. And in John chapter 8, Jesus said to the leadership of his day, you are of your father, the devil. He does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. And you are the exact same way. So for unsaved politicians, it's true. How do you know when a politician is lying? His mouth is moving. So let's not be naive. These people lie, and they put a spin on everything to make themselves look good. So we need to understand the nature of the unsaved. Even our own nature before we became new creations in Christ. And the New Testament constantly reminds us and warns us of this. Ephesians chapter 4, the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. They're darkened in their understanding. They're excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that's in them, because of the hardness of their heart. They have become callous. They have given themselves over to sensuality to practice every kind of impurity with greediness. And these are the people leading our country. And so when we see their policies and their behaviors, we ought to think, oh, this is what the scriptures mean. People are truly depraved enemies of God, and this is not just plain ignorance or bad policy decisions, a lack of education. This is evil on display. So I could take the whole program and go through all the lies regarding the Afghanistan situation, but let me just mention a few. Biden told George Stephanopoulos last week that the Americans will stay until every American is removed. And he lied. He pulled out with hundreds of Americans still trapped and many Afghanistan American supporters wanting to leave. Joe Biden also said that even though we do not have a presence in Afghanistan, we will be able to conquer insurgency operations with over-the-horizon drone strikes. But military people are saying that that's impossible without troops on the ground and without a nearby air base, without people on the ground doing reconnaissance. So we're not going to be able to stop the growth of Al-Qaeda and terrorist camps in Afghanistan. And another one of the spins that the administration has put out is that the Taliban are not so bad, that they're working with us, that they will rule their people in a fair way. Yet the Taliban are Al-Qaeda, and Al-Qaeda is the Taliban. It was the Taliban that sponsored Al-Qaeda and bin Laden back in 2001. Biden's press secretary, Psaki, is putting out this illusion that the Taliban will not be so bad because they have to negotiate with us. Because apparently the Taliban want international recognition, they want financial aid. So this is both her spin on evil people, and and the perception she actually believes about dealing with evil people. This is like the British Prime Minister Neville Chamberlain coming back to England with a peace treaty with the Nazis saying we have peace in our times. The Nazis will work with us. Right before Germany invaded Europe. So, after Biden had the U.S. troops withdraw from Afghanistan on August 31st, he gave a speech to the American people depicting his pullout from Afghanistan as a huge success. It's the right thing to do. And low information voters could easily be swayed by this speech. That is, if you don't realize he is calling evil good and good evil. He is calling cowardice, running from Afghanistan, the courage to do what no other president was willing to do, pull out troops. He began his speech by saying that the airlift was the greatest in history. It's just like bragging that the nation had the greatest retreat in the history of warfare. Quote from Biden, only the United States had the capacity and the will and the ability to do what it did, and we did it today. And what was that? We ran from the Taliban. Biden also said the extraordinary success of this mission was due to the incredible skill, bravery, and selfless courage of the United States military and our diplomats and intelligence professionals. Selfless courage would mean first supporting the Afghanistan military, then withdrawing after the nation was stable, then getting out all Americans, then all American supporters, then getting out our equipment, then closing the airbase, then finally our military. According to military experts, Biden, as commander-in-chief, did everything backwards that would normally be done in a withdrawal. And that's because Biden was chased out. In my YouTube edition of this program, I'll discuss more of the errors Biden made in the speech. But the real error in his address, the big lie, was his philosophy that it's a virtue, that it's justice to abandon a people once you make a commitment to them. And that's a point that's being completely ignored. Say what you will about being involved in Afghanistan in the first place. But once you make a commitment and a promise, a nation must be true to its word. I mean, we've had troops in Germany and South Korea for the last 50 years. Why? To keep our promises and to keep the peace. But such is a characteristic of the ungodly. They are unreliable. They do not keep their word. They do not protect the weak and the vulnerable. Jeremiah chapter 9. They bend their tongues like their bow. Lies and not truth prevail in the land, for they proceed from evil to evil, and they do not know me, declares the Lord. Let everyone be on guard against his neighbor, and do not trust any brother. Because every brother deals craftily, and every neighbor goes about as a slanderer. Everyone deceives his neighbor and does not speak the truth. They have taught their tongues to speak lies. They weary themselves committing iniquity. Your dwelling is in the midst of deceit. Through deceit they refuse to know me, declares the Lord. Well, we too are living in a time of great deceit. Well, that's all I have time for. As usual, the rest of this program will continue on my YouTube channel, God and Country Biblical Exposition. This is program 515 and YouTube number 182. The radio website where you can access all of these links is godandcountryradio.org. Thank you for including God and Country as one part of your discipleship in the Word. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, help us to see the sin in this world and in ourselves so we would realize our need for your atoning work on the cross. Thank you for paying the price for our sins and giving us new hearts. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.